Ali C.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're back with the final hour of the Paracast. Our guests, Tim Beckley and Tim Swartz. Tim Beckley, of course, is also known as Mr. UFO. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. One thing before we go on with the final segment here, and we do have questions coming from our audience still, and that is, Tim, where do we find more of the things that you do?
Well, let me see. Conspiracyjournal.com would be the best place. Also, you know, when I tell people, go to Amazon, type in my name, Timothy Beckley, type in Commander X, type in Tim Schwartz, type in Sean Castile, you'll find about 200 books that we have either worked on or published. If you order them from us, we have a little bit better price, and we throw in free CDs and DVDs. We have a huge collection of stuff. You know, I've traveled all over the country, and I've interviewed people, and it's kind of my unfair, unbalanced, unedited series. That's what I call it, and give them out with all our orders. We've got a huge collection. You know, one of the books we've done recently is the reprint of Frank Scully's Behind the Flying Saucers with four new chapters on the Aztec update. So we've got everything, no matter what your interest is. Don't be ashamed or shy. Contact us at conspiracyjournal.com. Click on the free subscription banner, and we'll load you down with all kinds of fascinating stuff. And we won't even charge you, but buy a book every once in a while to keep us going.
Where do we go from here? Chris, you have questions from the audience.
Well, you know, going back to the Shaver mystery and the timing of how all this information came out, what role do you think Ray Palmer played in it? Because I think we all kind of know the role that Palmer played, but if he hadn't been involved, do you think the story would have ever got traction?
Oh, I don't think so. I think Ray Palmer, he saw the potential in Shaver's stories, and he ran with it. Now, we all well know that Palmer sweetened up Shaver's writings quite a bit. And in fact, I'm absolutely positive that a lot of Shaver's stories that were printed were probably ghostwritten by other probably better writers than Shaver ever was.
Yeah. Well, I of course, had you know, corresponded with the Shaver. In fact, every week he would send me a box of dirt taken from his backyard, which contained rocks. Now, he claimed if you sawed the rocks in half, you were actually able to see pictures of this ancient race. It was kind of like a storybook or a crystal, as he explained it. And by cutting it in different planes and different angles, you could actually, if you knew how to view them properly, you could actually see this whole kind of like pictographs, Gene, you know, like on the cavern, the walls and things like that. I don't know. You know, at the time I thought, well, this is wacky. It doesn't work. And my mother hated it because along with the box of rocks and dirt came a few worms and God knows whatever else. Every week they were delivered to the post office, and he was a fascinating character. There's no doubt about it. Now, Palmer did polish his work. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, stories of cavern dwellers and people living inside the earth go way back. There were many books that were written on the subject. In fact, we've reprinted a few of them going back to around 1840. It's part of the Mormon belief system, actually, that there are beings in a world inside the earth. Tibetans believe in that as well. They call it Agartha. We've reprinted so far 10 of the 16 volumes of the Hidden World series, where Richard Shaver, Ray Palmer lays us on the line, and a lot of the readers of Amazing Stories and Palmer's early publications have contributed letters about hearing the voices and being inside the caves. And recently, we just came across an entire collection of lost Richard Shaver articles that haven't been published since around 1945, so we're including some of those as well. But a fascinating man. People think that he was hallucinating or he was a madman. Well, he might have been a madman, but I think he was onto something. I would say that we do have dwellers beneath our feet, whether they are in physical form or part of this interdimensional realm as yet to be seen. But there have been many cases where cavern explorers, with no knowledge of Shaver or of any of this, have run into these little beasties underground. You know, in fact, Gene and Chris, the Shaver mystery is very big in Japan. How would you explain that, right? There are websites devoted to the Shaver mystery, and even a science fiction horror movie that's been done where somebody gets lost in the subway system under Japan and run into the Dero, and they have a conversation about Shaver.
Well, you know, Tim, there's also been a resurgence in interest in the basic ideas that Shaver brought about. I mean, you have the late Mac Tony's book, The Cryptoterrestrials.
Yeah.
And even though he doesn't go, you know, and specifically say that, you know, they could be coming from the inner Earth, you know, that's one of the implications of this book. With Walter Bosley, I mean,
Michael Mott, of course, has been on the show, and you know, even Paul Benowitz. You take all this mysterious stuff, the cattle mutilations and all going on around Delcy and New Mexico. Paul Benowitz actually took photographs of objects that he said that there were doors that actually opened to a vast cavern system there. And we published on the back of his Benowitz papers a photograph of three objects seemingly going into the cavern wall.
Yeah, the whole UFO phenomenon has really been interconnected with the whole under, you know, hollow earth and caverns beneath our feet idea almost from the very beginning. I mean, Ray Palmer was one of the first to put that connection together.
Let me ask you a question though about Palmer. We mentioned Palmer a couple of times. And some of the chatter we've gotten from other guests is that Ray Palmer, fascinating individual. I actually met him at one time and talked to him a few times on the phone. Tim knew him. That a lot of times he was playing games with us. He was just saying this to get people to react to the stuff he wrote.
Well, isn't that great in the UFO field? Maybe we should have more of it. I think we probably have more of that today than we did back then, because everything outside of maybe Palmer was nuts and bolts. You know, and the nuts and bolts people, they don't want to hear about this. I mean, now I remember Philip Brogno telling me this story. You know, he was an assistant of Dr. Hynek, as was Ted Phillips, who you've also had on the program. And these are both fairly reputable, really staunch researchers. I'm proud to know both of these guys, and they've done some fabulous work. I mean, Ted Phillips with his ground, you know, cases with the markings of the ground and the landing, you know, I mean, the physical trace, just tremendous, 400 or 500 cases that he's actually worked on firsthand. Anyway, they were both assistants of Dr. Hynek, worked with him on a number of cases. And, Philip, now, he was probably the first to start edging out in that direction, because I remember he used to write for a UFO Universe magazine that I was editing at the time. And he was, of course, involved in the UFO sightings over the Hudson, the Valley, a boomerang-shaped craft that was seen by tens of thousands of people. I mean, there was one incident where 500 cars pulled over on the side of the road and watched this silent craft three times the size of a football field pass overhead, kind of like the Phoenix lights, but not the flares, you know, the earlier sightings that you missed, Gene. And, you know, so they started both, Ted and Phil started out at nuts and bolts, but Phil, as he started to get more into this, he realized that there was a lot more paranormal noise going on here, and he asked Dr. Hynek, he said, well, why don't we talk about some of this other material? And Dr. Hynek said, well, maybe, you know, we know that it's going on. In fact, Dr. Hynek told me some pretty wild Men in Black stories, you know, but because I was editor of the Close Encounters poster magazine that came out around the time of the movie, and of course, Dr. Hynek was an advisor consultant on it. He even showed up in a cameo role. Anyway, Hynek knew that, he even knew that there was paranormal aspects of this, but he told Phil, he said, you know, better not to let the press know about this or they'll have a field day. Because, you know, they're looking for sensationalistic stuff and they'll blow it out of proportion and use it against us. So let's keep away from that as much as possible.
But so basically here we have Hynek being politically correct. Now, I interviewed him a few years before he died, and, he was giving broad hints that there's a lot more to this phenomenon than we assume.
Yeah.
And
oh,
that we have
I
to
like
consider. Listen, Tim, we have to do the break. We have to do the break, Tim. Tim Beckley, Mr. UFO, and Tim Swartz. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
If you own a septic system or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge, stops costly pump outs and repairs, and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
Dr. David Berry has provided excellent advice for all those interested in practical economics and sound money. It's certainly worth reading.
That's what Congressman Ron Paul said about Cha-Ching Wisdom, 123 Practical Universal Truths About Money, the new book by Dr. David Berry.
The cool part of this book, certainly it'll speak to you personally, your life, your lifestyle, your money, your investments, but it also can be generalized into the nation, what's going on as a nation. We do these same things personally that we do as a nation.
Dr. Berry's book, Cha-Ching Wisdom, presents many facets of your relationship with the once almighty dollar and how current national and international politics affect your daily life.
Some of the other things are about that. They're not just economic. They're philosophical. There's psychology involved in this book. There's philosophy involved in this book.
Read Cha-Ching Wisdom by Dr. David Berry, only $9.95. Available at ChaChingWisdom.com. That's ChaChingWisdom.com. ChaChingWisdom.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
We're in the final three segments of our visit with Tim Beckley. Loads of fascinating stories, a wealth of information. Maybe Tim will write his autobiography someday and we'll learn more. Tim Schwartz joins us. I'm Gene Steinberg. Chris O'Brien's the co-host here in the PowerCast. We were talking about the fact that Hynek basically believed in a lot more than physical UFOs, but he wanted to be politically correct.
Yep. But he did start talking about, towards the end, he did start discussing a lot of this material. We have it in interviews, some of which we've published and some of which we haven't. But the same with Ted Phillips. I mean, Ted started out with the landing trace cases. And then little by little, he realized that, hey, there's something going on here that far exceeds spaceships from other planets. And last time, I think I even heard him on your show. What did he talk about? He talked about this thing underground. Again, here we are underground in, is it Czechoslovakia? Apparently some sort of machine or being that's, and he's wanted to go back into the caves to investigate this for many, many years. So anyway, we know now that UFOs are just not vehicles from outer space, but I still respect Stanton Friedman.
Well, here we go. I've got a question for you from one of our longtime forum posters, you know, Tidar001. This is rather tongue-in-cheek, but please ask Mr. Beckley if there is anything he doesn't believe in. Yeah. I really don't mean that as snarky. I subscribe to his Conspiracy Journal email version, but I've gotten a print version of it before, and wow. It was full of advertisements for the mystical rites of Moses and Solomon with the original, I guess, Arabic spells for whiter teeth and fresher breath and eternal youth and money out of the yin-yang type advertisements. I'm reading this verbatim. Also, Mr. Beckley himself has written and produced several books and films about most every esoteric subject you can imagine. So I honestly wonder if he is truly skeptical about anything.
Well,
I am considering...
You know, see, that doesn't make sense. Stop right there. That doesn't make sense. If I were the publisher of Doubleday, right, and I put out 300 books a year, first of all, see, the problem is here is that people know me. It's my brand name. Doubleday is some guy who's been dead for 100 years, right? If Doubleday puts out a book about the Karl Marx and they put out one... about Adolf Hitler, does that mean that that Mr. Doubleday is a communist, or does it mean that he is a fascist? I publish two types of books. I publish books that I believe in. Those are usually the ones that don't sell. And I publish books that I think other people will be interested in because I am a publisher, right? And I publish a wide variety of material that other larger publishers wouldn't touch because it's a very limited niche audience. There's something to magic. There's no doubt about that. In fact, I think that even the UFO thing is tied up with magic to some extent. I mean, some people even believe that Aleister Crowley managed to materialize an extraterrestrial of some sort. The early founders of NASA were involved in magical rites, and we know also too that that almost all of the astronauts were members of the Masonic Order. Just because I publish a book, I'm a publisher, so I publish a lot of different things. Doesn't necessarily mean that I believe in it. There's a lot of things that I haven't had the opportunity to investigate firsthand, but I do pick writers who know their subject. And so if a writer on a...
Well, I think both Gene and I and Tim would agree that it's very difficult to hang the belief banner on a publisher who happens to publish certain types of books. But I think basically the question that Tyler was asking is, what are you skeptical about? Where do you draw the line in terms of...
I'm skeptical about everything. Oh, no, you have to... No, that's what people don't understand.
Oh, good answer.
I'm skeptical about everything. I believe that there is a possibility that a lot of this phenomena is real, but I'm skeptical about it. If somebody tells me a story, I don't necessarily believe it just based on that. No, but I enjoy the company of people. I like the contactees better personally than I do the nuts and bolts of people because I don't want to hear about this all day and all night. I have other interests. I'm interested in rock and roll. I produce bands. I'm Mr. Creepo. I do low-budget horror movies, you know. So I have a lot of interests. I like to read on a lot of subjects. I like to find out. I'm an investigative journalist, see. I wrote a lot of articles, like I say, for the tabloid. Doesn't mean that people say, oh, you believe Bill Shatner's story about his experience with the MIB in the desert while he was out on the motorcycle, and now he says, well, he just made it up to tease or to get some interest from the journalist. Well, he would make up any story as he went along, and I realized that. So I don't put the whole UFO phenomenon on the back of Bill Shatner just because he said something and it turns out it isn't true doesn't mean that I don't believe everything else. I'm going to report a story.
Yeah. That's a very good answer.
You have to decide for yourself. It's all up to the individual, and that's where I leave it. Here is the material. It's the best that can be produced, and you decide. So why should I not publish a book if somebody is going to be interested in it? Now, there's some things that I wouldn't probably publish, like a Billy Meyer book or something by Lorelians, because I'm not into cultism in that sense. Anybody who says, I'm the only representative of the space people, or I'm the only one who has a contact and everybody else is a fake, well, I don't buy that. I just don't buy that. I'm sorry.
You know, if anybody comes to you and says that they have the ultimate answer, that they know definitively what's going on, I'm going to be skeptical. I mean, you know, it's just, there's just too much going on for any definitive answer right now. So
I run the other way. I don't want to get slimed or possibly linked in with that sort of thinking. How you just answered the question, Tim, is very interesting because it dovetails nicely into another question by Angela, one of our moderators at the forum.theparacast.com. Angela is one of our resident healthy, open-minded skeptics.
Good.
And he's wondering, and this is a really good question. I've never had anybody ask me this, but here's one for both of you. Please ask the Tims if there are any cases that people still hold up as real, even though they've been explained or proven as hoaxes.
Yes, I have.
Cool. Well, Billy Meyer would be obviously a classic.
Here is a very famous case, and I have an explanation for it. And anybody, it's a photograph. It was a photograph that was taken over, I believe it's Tulsa, Oklahoma, back around the flap of 64, taken by a young boy by the name of Alan Smith. He claims he saw this strange light. He was with his father, saw this strange light in the sky, took a photograph of it. Okay. A couple of weeks later or a week later, he goes to pick up the film. When he gets the film back, the photos are blank. Well, you know darn well if you take photographs at night, they're going to be blank, right? I mean, most of the time. That's why people say, oh, you can't, you know, like, why didn't you take a photograph of it? Well, most of the photographs, if you take them, especially at night, if there are lights in the sky, you ain't going to get anything. Anyway, he looked at the negatives closely, and he saw a smudge or something on the negative, and he took it back to the processor and said, blow this up, make a print of it. So they made a print, and this is a very famous photograph. It shows a tri-colored object. It's, I believe, red, blue, and green. Well, this has been touted about as an authentic photograph. Well, it isn't. I was going through a copy of Playboy magazine, of course, just to read the articles, many years ago. There is a painting in there by an artist that goes back to around 1920. I can't remember his name offhand.
I'll tell you what, we'll get to the painting in a moment, Tim.
Okay.
And don't forget to send us your cards, letters, or emails, mostly emails. Send them to news@theparacast.com. Once again, that's news@theparacast.com, where we read every message we get. We have Tim Beckley, Mr. UFO, Tim Swartz. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
The Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@WebTV.net. That's MrUFO@WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral, antiviral and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We return. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast with Tim Beckley and Tim Schwartz, Mr. UFO. Now, Tim, you were telling us about this Playboy photo?
Okay. There was an artist. Okay. I'm just trying to look this up on the Internet now. But he did a lot of very bizarre kind of abstract paintings from around 1920-25. In one of the paintings that he did, well, he's most famous for the painting that was used for the poster O Calcutta. In fact, that's why it was in Playboy magazine. It's a photo of a derriere, and you know, it's artistic, and he was quite an artist, very abstract. Okay, so in this issue of Playboy magazine, they published four or five pages of the other artwork. Okay, there's a painting that this gentleman did around, I think, 1917 or so, that shows a castle, a very ominous looking, like omens and signs, and there's a pope in red. It was some religious statement that he's making against the Catholic Church or something. Up in the sky are comets shooting through the air, and a very strange aerial something or other. Just bizarre. I mean, okay, you look at that painting and you zoom in on this tricolored object that's up above this mysterious darkened castle. It's the exact same object that's in that photograph. Stroke for stroke, point by point, you cannot look at it and you cannot say that it isn't the same thing. Now, what is my explanation? Did the boy hoax this? No. But I would believe that perhaps he and his dad were at a museum, right? Maybe at the same time as the legitimate UFO sighting that he might have had. He took a photograph in the museum. Now, you know, you can't use flashes in a museum, right, Gene? So he took it, and the pictures didn't come out, but he holds it up and he sees this thing. Maybe it's one little speck that came out on the photograph from the painting. He blows it up, and it's this object that looks like a UFO, because it is a UFO in the painting, but it has nothing to do with the sightings over Tulsa. Okay, now, just recently, it was the anniversary, like the 25th anniversary of this particular sighting. The Tulsa paper did a big story about it. The boy hasn't, he's since grown into a man, obviously, but he hasn't talked to anybody about this in years and refuses to give interviews. But they had the original photograph of him when he was 14 or 15 years old holding up the snapshot of this mysterious object in the sky. Well, the mysterious object in the sky has been identified. I sent the copy of the photo along with a copy of the painting, which I can do to you, Gene, if you want to post it. And you can see it's the exact same object. I thought that the Tulsa paper, in all fairness, would print my letter with the photograph in the explanation, but they avoided it because I guess even Tulsa needs a mystery. And so it may be the only mystery in Tulsa. And to the Tulsa newspaper, it will remain a mystery. But Tim Beckley has solved the mystery of this flying saucer over Tulsa. So, you know, I mean, I could have swept it under the rug, right? I could have not said anything about it to anybody and let it stay a mystery. But no, if you need an explanation for something and what exists, tell it. I'm not afraid to do that. You know, if it hurts a few book sales, that's all right. I got 210 other vibes to sell. But anyway, that's the story of the mysterious light over at Tulsa. And if you go to the internet and you type in, a Google under images, the red pulp, you'll see it right away. And there's no, you match that object up above the castle alongside the photograph taken by the young boy in Oklahoma. And there's no doubt it is that object. Case closed.
I've got a story that this happened around 1973 during, wasn't too long, I think, after the Pascagoula, Mississippi UFO abduction. And this happened near Hartford City, Indiana. And this truck driver driving down the road one evening, he described it as two Martians floating over a fence that was alongside of the road. Says that they were silvery, dressed all in silver and glowing in the dark, and they had claw-like hands, and they floated over the fence towards the road and disappeared in the ditch. And you can still read this report in a lot of books that that talk about the 1973-1974 UFO flap that happened in the United States at the time, a lot of times in conjunction with the Pascagoula UFO incident. Well, it turns out that the aliens that were seen floating over the fence, I discovered, were actually two little kids who had wrapped themselves up with aluminum foil and with the intention of going along the side of the road and waving at cars as they went by. Well, in the process of trying to clamber over this fence, one of them got their pants caught and was hanging upside down while the other one was trying to get him free. Now, how this truck driver ever turned that into two little glowing aliens floating over the fence, I'll never know. But what happened was that the next day, their parents found out what was going on, what happened, and basically grabbed them by their ears and marched them to the local police station and had them tell personally that what had happened. Well, by this time, of course, the story had gotten out about the report of the truck driver. But, strange as it is, the story about what really happened never really got any press time, which to me is really funny, because anymore, if you read about a report, a UFO report in the newspaper, almost inevitably the next day there'll be a follow-up story where somebody will say, oh, yeah, well, it was just some guy who attached some road flares to a kite and, was flying in above the road. And something like that. It's a lot of times an explanation that seems to be even more far-fetched than the actual UFO report itself. But anymore, the media does not like to exist in a vacuum. They like to have a cut and dry answer as quickly as they can. And so they'll glom on to usually the first explanation, no matter how far-fetched it is. Anymore, it's, you know, weather balloons with flares attached or kites with flares attached, you know, that sort of thing.
Swamp gas.
Yeah.
Well, Tim, have you had any personal experiences other than, you know, I think you mentioned a few UFO events. Have you ever had any visitations by MIBs? Have you ever experienced some sort of haunting phenomena or any other strange so-called paranormal events?
Which Tim is this?
You, Tim Schwartz.
Tim Schwartz, okay. I've had a few UFO sightings, mostly just lights in the sky at night. And, you know, when it comes to lights in the sky at night, that can be almost anything. So, you know, I really can't say that, you know, they were definitive UFO sightings. Now, just recently, it was last... the day right after Memorial Day, about 10 o'clock at night, I let my dog outside, and to the southwest of me was an extremely bright red light in the sky. The way I would describe it would be like a traffic light, you know, the red part of the traffic light, like an LED light hanging in the sky. And that's all it was. I mean, it was just this steady red light just hanging there. It was a distance away, you could tell, but it was extremely bright, unlike any airplane lights that I have ever seen before. And I'm very familiar, you know, with all airplane lights. It was just this single bright red light, and then all of a sudden it just flicked itself out, and it was gone. And I even stood outside and waited for a while to see if, you know, there was an aircraft passing overhead. But nothing flew overhead, so I have no explanation for that.
Now, I'll tell you what, we'll get into more stuff in a moment. That's Tim Schwartz. We also have Tim Beckley. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
It is well known that protein nutrition is a key to optimum blood sugar levels. But to benefit at all from protein, your body must first be able to break down protein into amino acids. Once amino acids are liberated from proteins, your body uses them to make brain chemicals that make you feel alert and peaceful at the same time. Your pancreas uses them to regulate blood sugar and insulin. People are waking up and doing an about-face when it comes to nutrition. They are learning that a high-carbohydrate diet may encourage obesity and diabetes. They are now emphasizing proteins more to compensate. One protein source that is more easily broken down into amino acids is non-denatured whey protein. For better blood sugar and better weight, give One World Whey a try. One World Whey is the most powerful whey protein food on the market. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
And don't forget to send us your cards, letters, or emails, mostly emails. Send them to news@theparacast.com. Once again, that's news@theparacast.com, where we read every message we get. You know, folks, we were talking earlier on about the purchase of Skype by Microsoft, and, you know, the reception right now hasn't been too good today for Chris, so I don't know if that'll be better or worse. We have Tim Beckley and Tim Swartz on the Paracast. Tim, you were still discussing your particular episode. Have any further details to add?
As well as investigating UFOs and cryptid creatures and things like that, I've also been to a number of haunted houses and haunted locations. And I was ghost hunting long, long before it had become a popular television show.
Hey, Tim, tell us about the teleportation.
That's exactly the story I was leading to. Uh-huh. And this was, I was working at a television station in Dayton, Ohio, and this would have been around 1983. Got a report from a couple who lived in Springfield, Ohio. They were experiencing poltergeist activity. They were an elderly couple, and they had just recently had to take in their grandchildren because their mother had been sent to jail. And one of them was a 13-year-old girl and a 9-year-old boy. And about the same time, they started experiencing all kinds of haunting activities, furniture being moved around, raps on the wall, things like that. So I took my television camera with me. I was a videographer at the time, and went over to this house to talk to the people, try to record everything. Well, one of the first things that happened to me when I went into this house was that all the batteries on my camera, and I'm talking about, you know, a professional video camera with very heavy-duty batteries that were freshly charged, batteries just immediately were dead. Every one of them that I had was dead. And it also included the I had a power belt that controlled a sun gun light that fit on top of the camera. All these batteries were just immediately dead. So I was sitting on the couch talking with these people. The kids were in their room in another part of the house, and it was in the early evening, and all of a sudden, from the ceiling, almost right in front of me, rocks started dropping down, white rocks like you'd find in your driveway. And just like about five or six, just one after the other, from, it looked to me, and this was a fairly well-lit room, it looked to me that these rocks were just materializing about 2 inches below the ceiling and dropping to the floor. And I mean, you could hear them, you know, clunk, clunk, clunk. And I even, after they stopped falling, I even got a stepladder and looked in that area, no holes, anything like that. I picked up the rocks, appeared to be normal rocks. They were somewhat warm to the touch. So remembering an incident that Ivan T. Sanderson had wrote about at one time, I took a magic marker and I marked an X on these rocks, opened the back door of the house, and threw them into the cornfield right behind the house. Went back in and sat down. Less than a minute later, here comes these rocks again, falling from the same part of the ceiling. Each one had the very same X on it. So I still have these rocks in my possession, by the way. I have no explanation for what was going on. I wish that I had been able to capture this on video or on camera. But that seems to be the way of the beast, so to speak, when it comes to these kinds of activities, is that it seems to know when you're going to have the camera out or looking directly at it, and then it proceeds to go someplace else.
Chris, you have some more questions because we're running out of time.
Yeah, Tim Beckley, that leads us to a final question that we have here from our forum posters. Have you had any experiences of like some sort of strange awareness or an interesting event like that when they're interviewing so-called abductees or contactees, or in the case that Tim Schwartz mentioned, people subjected to a haunting of sorts?
Well, my thing would be like the synchronicities that I explained, and I probably have another half a dozen or so. Now, I was told, and I don't remember this, maybe I blacked out, I wasn't drinking, the town of Pine Bush in upstate New York. In fact, they had a mini UFO festival there a weekend or two ago. I don't know how successful they were because they didn't really do a good job promoting it. But there was a UFO sightings not far from the Hudson Valley area. You know, it kind of seemed to be lumped in with all that, you know. And materializations of objects and creatures. There was a gal by the name of Ellen Crystal. She's since deceased. She worked with Harry Levelson, a good friend of mine, who was the UFO editor of Omni magazine. And they were having all kinds of sightings up there and landings. And she did a UFO a book. It was kind of, Pine Bush was kind of like the UFO Central. And I know we went up there a couple of times on an exploratory mission. Now, I was always very skeptical because I remember one time that Ellen Crystal came racing out in her automobile. She had just seen this huge cross-shaped object in the sky, followed by being trailed by, I don't know, some other craft or something like that. And we were only about a quarter mile away, and we didn't see anything. Now, at that point, I think it was a little bit more New Age-oriented or ungrounded than I am now. I kind of, you know, go back and forth with these things. My beliefs are subject to change. But, again, like I say, I've been involved in this for over 40 years, so what the heck, you know. Anyway, I was told that one night we went on a skywatch, and I don't remember this, fellas. And supposedly I started channeling beings from inside the craft and said where the craft were from and why they were coming over the...
Say it ain't so, Tim.
Well, I don't remember it. But the person who told me this, I don't believe that they were lying. They wouldn't make it up either. It was somebody I hadn't seen in about 20 years. And she said, oh, I remember when I was with you in Pine Bush and you started channeling in the spaceship and you said it was the Space Brotherhood. Well, I wasn't even drinking on that time. I never do, don't do drugs. and so I can't, unless her, well, all I know is my name is on the bathroom wall in the barbershop in Pine Bush. Now, it's not the graffiti. Apparently, the guy who owns the barbershop, that's where everybody used to meet to tell their UFO stories, and he made up a plaque of everybody who visited the barbershop. I saw it on TV. I didn't even know I'd been in the barbershop, but my name is on the bathroom wall in the barbershop in Pine Bush. There's still some sightings up there. Apparently, I've talked to the locals, and again, the people that have the sightings never bothered to do this because legends of mysterious lights in the sky and landings and weird things going on go back to Indian times, the Indian tribes that live up there. But none of the UFO witnesses bothered to do their homework, and so they don't even realize that. In fact, some of the locals that I knew that were into the psychic, I have a friend who as a psychic reader, and she would, you know, some of the people living up there, say, oh, UFOs, we know about these for, you know, like a long time. It's my grandfather told me, you know, reports of this, but none of the current researchers bothered to go back in time and do a little bit of footwork.
Do you think that's part of the problem, that we're not getting that kind of stuff?
Yes. Yes, because a lot of people that go into this have their own preconceived ideas of what UFOs should be. So they want to erase everything that doesn't fit into what they believe in advance.
Yes.
And I try not to do that. I mean, people may think of what they want about me and my techniques of publishing or researching, but when it comes to researching, I'm a journalist, so I just tell what people tell me. I mean, I try not to, some of the publishers want you to like theorize a little, and I guess you got to go along with that, you know. John Keel was big at theorizing, of course, and some researchers are better than others, and some just want to see spaceships in the sky. I don't think spaceships are landing in Pine Bush. It's something else that's going on up there. But it's just as weird. To me, it's a lot more interesting. If there are spaceships, fine. Wave to them, shake hands. Joe Symington, remember the farmer, Gene, in Wisconsin? He went on board the ship and they gave him a pancake. That's all
well,
he
that was
got
really a poor way of resolving
all he got for
friendship.
Meeting extraterrestrials was an unedible pancake. Thank you very much.
And it tasted like cardboard.
Well, that wouldn't be the first time. Some of the places we've eaten at, it tastes like cardboard too, doesn't it, Tim? Tim, quickly tell our listeners where they can find more of the stuff you do.
ConspiracyJournal.com, which Tim Schwartz is actually the webmaster and editor over there in cyberspace. I am the editor of the physical Conspiracy Journal. So just go to ConspiracyJournal.com, click on that banner, says free subscription, or go to Amazon, type in my name, Tim Schwartz, Commander X. You'll see all the books then. Email me, and I'll make you an offer you can't refuse.
We'll have to take you up on that. Chris O'Brien, where do we find more of your stuff?
Well, of course, I'm a moderator at forum.theparacast.com. We have a very lively community of very interesting, up-to-speed, very smart people on there. I urge all our listeners to join up. Also, I have a website that we're going to be redoing here in the next couple of weeks, OurStrangePlanet.com.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Tim Beckley, Tim Schwartz, thank you both for coming on this week on the Paracast.
Always a pleasure, Gene.
Yes, thank you very much. I had a great time today.
Paracast is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.